Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Well, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the show, and the Duke game went about as bad as you could imagine it to go for Indiana. They lose 90-69 last night on national television. And again, we previewed the game yesterday in this show. We had a special hour and a half pregame program leading into the IU Network coverage last night, and we talked about the different scenarios, and obviously one was Indiana shocking the college basketball world, a little shorthanded to go to a tough place like Duke and win that game, which we thought would be very tough, to be quite honest, if not impossible. The other was for IU to pick up some momentum, continue playing well, get out of the rut of some of the last couple games against smaller teams where, because of health issues, because of other woes, they just didn't play tremendously well. But maybe to lose the game in a competitive fashion, close the game strong, have some good individual performances, some things that you could be proud of and hopeful of moving into two Big Ten conference games coming up. We don't get any of those. We get the worst case scenario, a 90-69 final score. IU commits 20 turnovers. They shot 39% from the field. Many, many reasons to be down about last night's game. The number one reason, and we'll talk a lot about this today, is yes, Duke is very good. Yes, Duke is very talented, but in many regards last night, even in the second half, maybe when Duke was playing some second-string guys, IU killed themselves. IU made some unforced turnovers. IU did some things when the defensive pressure maybe wasn't as great as what it was in the opening frame of the game that just did not make a lot of sense. And so a bad performance. I'm sure part of that, especially early on, was because of the talent of Duke and because of the road environment that Duke has. But another part of that, obviously, very disappointing to see how IU played from its own side of things as well, which I think is what compounded things last night. Not only a loss to Duke, not only playing a very good team with a lot of talent, not only playing in a tough home environment for Duke, but obviously playing bad in many facets of the game last night did Indiana. We'll talk about it all today. A lot of the show will be spent breaking down the IU-Duke game, and of course, you got to flip the page soon if you're Archie Miller and the team, because the next two games for IU are Big Ten Conference games, which is very, very important as far as getting off to an early start. I tell you what, if you can win those two games to start the Big Ten Conference season, if you can win those two before you dip back into non-conference play, and let's not forget Butler on the schedule. They are tough. Louisville beats Michigan State last night, although the Hoosiers will have Louisville at home. Those will be tough games. But to get into that stretch with two Big Ten victories on your record and then come back at the first of the year when the full Big Ten schedule starts, that's a mighty fine start for anybody that can accomplish that. So I think you got to turn the page, coaches, players, and of course fans, as hard as it may be to do, and start to focus on the two upcoming games, because I really do think both of those Big Ten games coming up are winnable games for Indiana, and games I really, to be quite honest, maybe I'm crazy with what we saw last week against Arlington and against UC Davis and some of the things last night against Duke, but I kind of expect Indiana to be competitive and to win those games to start the season. I think they've got the talent. One of the games is at home. I would think that they're possible wins for IU. A very important game. So as hard as it might be after a shellacking like last night, I think you got to turn the page and start to take a look at those next two games coming up as well. We'll do that in this program as well. Thanks as well, before we get too far into things, thanks as well to everyone that took time out to join us last night. We had our replay of the Hoosier Report followed by an hour and a half special. We had some great guests. Alex Bozich stopped by for a special chat to really break down some of the matchups in the game last night. Had Steve Clark from the Duke 24/7 sports site. Did a great job talking about things from a Duke perspective. I know some people are sick and tired of hearing about Zion Williamson. It seems like no matter what college basketball game you're watching on ESPN, somehow he finds his way into the broadcast. And I tell you what, after last night, some of the crazy dunks and athletic plays that he makes, maybe rightfully so. But Steve came on last night in our preview show. He did a great job kind of breaking down those freshmen and talking about things that if you're not I don't want to say a homer, but if you're not very involved with the Duke team as a fan or someone that covers them, you don't really know about their weaknesses. Every team has weaknesses, but you're not going to hear much. And if you don't follow every game, you're not going to know a whole bunch about it. But he had some good stuff, positive and negative, for Duke heading into the game. It was a fun hour and a half. I learned a lot, and it was fun to take that and then go right into watching the game at 9:30. We'll do that for some of the other big games IU has forthcoming, so stay tuned for announcements. But we'll have some special pregame coverage shows, and we're going to do some things to involve fans as well. We'll be making some further announcements soon, but definitely we'll have some pregame type material for you for some of the bigger IU games coming up the rest of this season. And of course, still some big non-conference games, and of course, when you get into Big Ten Conference play, plenty of big games there as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We will talk about the IU game last night. We'll talk about the ACC Big Ten Challenge as a whole. Some really good games last night, and I think there should be some really good games tonight. I'm looking forward, hopefully, tonight to being able to tune into some college basketball without anything on the line, any teams you're necessarily pulling for, and watch what should be good games. I think North Carolina-Michigan tonight could be a really good game. Also, I want to touch on Jeff Brohm. Rick Bozich has had some tweets and a little bit of news earlier today from a source that he thinks a decision could come on the Jeff Brohm situation. Obviously, it's big news locally with Louisville looking to fill its vacancy in the football program. Big news for Purdue if they lose a coach. Big news for IU. We talked about that some with Greg Doyle. As much as IU fans probably don't want to admit it, getting Jeff Brohm out of the state of Indiana, even though he'll just be moving possibly very shortly or a very small distance across the state line, would help recruiting, I think, as far as in the state of Indiana, as far as Purdue goes and IU battling for some of the players that they need to be successful in the conference and have successful seasons where they at least reach a bowl game. So we'll talk about that and some high school games last night as well. We'll take a quick look at some of those also. Later in the show, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, he is with us in segment number two. We'll recap IU Duke, and we'll start to turn the page, hopefully, and look at some of the upcoming games. And then later in the show, we continue our preview of Southern Indiana High School basketball for the 18-19 season. Sean Smith, the coach at Providence now, his first year, entering his first year, and the Pioneers have not played yet. They have their first official game on Friday. He will join us later in the program as well. So we've got a full show, lots of IU, little high school stuff, some local stuff to keep the hour very occupied for you. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's go through our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I want to start the Big Ten ACC Challenge. On Monday, it was a 1-1 split. Nebraska beat Clemson in a very close game, and Boston College of the ACC defeated Minnesota. Last night, Penn State got a big win over Virginia Tech, 63-62. That might be one of the more surprising wins so far in this challenge. Notre Dame was a winner over Illinois. That was a great competitive game as well, a two-point game. Louisville, probably the surprise of the night, one of the surprise of the seasons. They win a signature game for Chris Mack in his new tenure at Louisville, 82-78. In overtime, huge victory for Louisville and for the ACC in this challenge. North Carolina State got a big win as well. Very good game against Wisconsin. They were able to hang on 79-75. Iowa, who's been surprising people and playing very well, they got behind early. They come back and win by 1 point last night, 69-68 over Pittsburgh. And, of course, we know the Duke score. Duke rocks Indiana by a final score of 90-69. Let's see if I can count it up. For the Big Ten, Nebraska, Penn State, Iowa, three victories for the Big Ten Conference so far. For the ACC, Boston College, Notre Dame, Louisville, North Carolina State, Duke. So 5-3 advantage heading into tonight's games in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Rutgers is at Miami tonight. Syracuse is at Ohio State. That should be a good one. Virginia is at Maryland. That could be interesting as well. Purdue at Florida State. Another interesting game. Georgia Tech at Northwestern. And then the big one of the night that I can't wait to watch is North Carolina at Michigan. They've got that late tip-off tonight at 9:30. The ACC Big Challenge. It's one of the real deals of the non-conference season. And, of course, Indiana found out last night. Duke is the real deal. No question about that. Romeo Langford led Indiana, even though it was probably the most difficult, I think, by far, game of his college career so far. He missed 12 of the 15 shots that he took, but he still had 13 points to lead Indiana in what was a really a dismal performance across the roster. I guess if you're looking for some positives, because we're going to talk about plenty of negatives today when Jeff Rabjohns joins us, Evan Fitzner bounced back. He had a big game or two early in the season, hadn't done a lot since then, but he came off the bench. He had 12 points. He was a perfect 3 of 3 shooting the long ball. And Deron Davis as well. He's been trying to get healthy, trying to get his conditioning back after an injury last season and a little soreness so far this season. He had 10 points coming off the bench as well. So I guess if you've got to find a bright spot, two subs coming in, reaching double digits for Indiana, and, of course, as well, hard to get past when you talk about negatives, hard to get past the 20 turnovers of Indiana, many, many of those coming in the first half, and then to make matters worse, coming right out of the halftime, another slew of turnovers as well. They did slow down later in the second half and toward the end of the game, but 20 turnovers on the road, 20 turnovers at Cameron Indoor. You're not only are you not going to beat Duke, but you're not going to come close. And Indiana has figured that out not only this year, but a couple seasons ago when they've been beat by a very similar margin at Duke. Of course, their most competitive game with Duke came last year when I believe they played them to a 10-point final margin. So more on the IU game forthcoming in just a bit. Rick Bozich of WDRB, he reporting earlier today that a source close to Jeff Brohm saying that Brohm has, quote, weighed everything on Tuesday evening with his coaches and group of advisors, and they were still, quote, talking everything through, and that a decision could possibly come from Brohm sometime on Wednesday. Obviously, he's got an offer from Louisville. No particulars of that available at this point, and I'm sure that he's heard from Purdue or talked with Purdue as well about perhaps upping things for him to make sure that he knows he is wanted there. But it doesn't sound like a clear-cut deal that Brohm will definitely be Louisville's next head coach, as I think a lot of people thought might happen after the IU-Purdue game came to a conclusion. Sounds like he's really weighing things and that staying at Purdue is still a viable option for him. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Again, from an IU perspective, I think the concern or your interest in this headline is that Jeff Brohm, with what he's done at Purdue, and he hasn't led him to an undefeated season. They were one win more than Indiana. I understand that. But from a recruiting perspective and kind of a momentum perspective, I think there's plenty of reasons to be concerned. So if he moves to the ACC, moves to Louisville, yes, geographically still very close, but you still recruit from different bases. And I think from an Indiana perspective, that's your interest is probably seeing Jeff Brohm not in your state, not at Purdue, the rival school. But we'll find out what happens. And according to what Rick Bozich wrote earlier today, it sounds like that very much could happen later today. Also, some high school basketball last night in the area. Charlestown and Silver Creek. Silver Creek wins 91-51. A big win for the Dragons to start the season 2-0. They had all types of scoring in the game, but how about this? The two sophomores that we've talked about a lot of interest in those guys, a lot of college coaches beginning to check in on those guys. Trey Kaufman, 27 points in the win last night. Cooper Jacoby, 24 points in the win last night. Two freshmen leading the way for Silver Creek. They've got some bright, bright years ahead at Silver Creek, no question about that. I know Charlestown not expected to be the best team in the area, so no surprise really that Silver Creek rolls to a victory, but to see those guys put up those kind of numbers this early in their sophomore season, obviously very impressive as well. Also last night, Floyd Central was in action. They took on Clarksville. Clarksville obviously lost a lot from a very solid team last season, and Floyd Central rolls to the victory over Clarksville last night. Floyd Central was led by Kobe Barnes and Jake Heidbreeder. They both, Kobe had 15, Jake had 14 points in the win for them. A balanced scoring, as you would imagine. Floyd Central got out and ahead early over Clarksville and was able to roll to the victory last night. Again, Floyd Central 3-0, Christian Academy, Lawrence North, and Clarksville, their wins as they head into some big games forthcoming. But some good Tuesday night basketball. Glad to see high school basketball is back, and we head into the weekend with a full slate of games for a lot of our local teams. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Lots of IU Duke breakdown. We'll turn the page as well and look at IU's next two games, both Big Ten Conference opponents in early season conference games forthcoming for the Hoosiers. That and more next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Wednesday show. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with us to break down the IU Duke loss. Tough one for IU fans to swallow. And Jeff, I think the toughest thing that I'm seeing and hearing from fans is that not only did IU get beat by a really good Duke team, the IU team didn't do a lot to help themselves. They made some careless turnovers that I don't know Duke really had that much involvement in helping those become turnovers. Just not a good performance for the IU team all the way around.
No, I think the turnover issue, especially in the first half, is the biggest concern for Indiana, because that was just poor play. I mean, some of the questions that people asked Archie Miller and the players about Duke's 1-2-2 trap, I was kind of like, what? You know, I mean, they kind of ran it here and there, but there were times IU, you know, their turnovers were like, you know, a student wadding up a poor draft of a term paper and just throwing it to the side. It's kind of like, what are you doing there exactly? You know, they had times that they were dribbling downhill and lost the ball out of bounds. There was the, you know, Al Durham, you know, trying to flip the ball backward to Romeo on a break. There was the obvious, just, you know, really egregiously poor pass from Fennessy across the court with Zion Williamson standing right there, and he picks it off, and Archie Miller said, you know, we just throw a chest pass to a guy and put him on SportsCenter. It's like, yeah, that's kind of what happened. So that's the bad. The good is those things actually are simple fixes. Just make crisper passes. Be sure of where your guy is or where he's going. Don't take gambles. And do fundamentally correct things, like, you know, don't dribble all the way into a shot blocker like Justin Smith did sometimes and not have anywhere to go. So the bad is that it happened. The good is that you look at, you know, the guys that IU has on its team, and then they're capable of playing with fewer turnovers. In fact, they've done it this season. IU's first three games, turnover percentage was all under 20%. So that's the good for IU. The thing that I find really interesting is that it was a 24-point margin at halftime, and points off turnovers at halftime were 19-0 in favor of Duke. And so you kind of do the math there, and it's like, yeah, that lopsided margin, I mean, it was pretty much all due to the turnover issues and the points that Duke got turnovers. Now, that's not to say that IU would have won that game in Cameron Indoor Stadium. Duke's won 142 consecutive non-conference home games. The next closest streak in all of college basketball is 50. They're ridiculously good there. Some people seem to be amazed that the students and the atmosphere at Cameron impacted the players. I even wrote pregame. I tried to let people know. It's like, those of us who've been there multiple times, those of us who know some people who played there, and I've talked to some guys who are now in the NBA who played as opponents at Cameron, and they talk about how, it's just different with the students being right on top of you. And it's almost like, people talk about being prepared for Cameron, don't let it get to your head, all that. It's kind of like that old Mike Tyson quote where somebody said, what's people's plan against you? And Tyson says, everybody has a plan until they get hit. Well, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's almost like everybody has a plan for Cameron until you get there. It's different. And, Duke's won. I looked it up, and it's like their winning percentage is like 94.6% over the last 10 years or so at home. So, it is a factor. You can sit there and say, well, it shouldn't be. Guys need to be tough. Great. A whole lot of guys who are playing in the NBA apparently aren't tough at all because, they got smoked in Cameron. It's not an excuse, but I'm just saying, just for a little perspective, it does happen.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Good stuff as we start our conversation about IU basketball after last night's ACC Big Ten Challenge loss at Duke. Let's talk a little bit about the freshman Romeo Langford. He has had some great performances so far this season. Obviously, he has all sorts of expectations on his shoulders as well. 13 points last night. He did not shoot it well, made some turnovers. It obviously wasn't a bright spot. In addition to that, just not being a good night for him, he's going against other freshmen that he's been rated with, maybe a little lower than, or higher, I should say, than as far as the fifth, sixth in the country in high school. Zion Williamson often number one. R.J. Barrett sometime had the number one spot as well. But going against tough freshmen that got a lot of attention last night as far as the NBA goes and that sort of thing. Break down his performance, what you thought maybe didn't go well for him. And, again, he's been someone that has led Indiana in almost every game so far this season, even in games where he has shot it well and in other games where maybe he hasn't shot as well is what you would have hoped. But he was going against some really talented players that he's battled with now for a number of years in that game last night.
Yeah, it was not a good performance for him, but you have to keep in perspective venue and opponents. And I say opponents plural because, Duke had multiple guys that they could kind of throw at him. Even though Barrett kind of did probably a majority of the work overall of the 35 minutes that Langford was out there. But, yeah, Romeo, he scores 13 points, goes 3 for 15 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3. Did have 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 turnovers. But the 3 for 15 from the field wasn't great. And I think the thing that probably one of the things that NBA scouts that I talked to before the game were wanting to see that they didn't see were really good drives around elite length and athleticism. And Romeo didn't, he didn't finish well last night. He had some opportunities with some drives. He had some opportunities with some angles. And he just didn't finish. Sometimes that's going to happen. He was still the leading scorer for Indiana in the game. Nobody had more than his 13 points. But the 3 for 15 was an issue. The one little pump fake turnaround where he tried to get it over R.J. Barrett. And to me, it just looked like I don't think R.J. actually blocked it or tipped it. I think it just Romeo just went on a little higher arc, and you know, and he didn't hit anything. You know, that wasn't the greatest of decisions, but it is one game. Nobody's draft stock, despite some of the stuff you see on social media, nobody's draft stock truly goes up or down based upon one game. It's an end of season body of work. It really is, because while you see mock drafts out there in various places, NBA teams don't have mock draft boards up yet. That's not how they do it. They study all the players. Then much later in the season, they start to put together boards and things like that. But NBA teams, their scouts are out on the road right now. Their scouts aren't even back in the office talking. So it's not as if something, you know, happened to that's going to be a big factor in Romeo's draft stock. The biggest thing for Romeo really is a lot of scouts are like, we wanted to see him, you know, in a tough environment. How does he respond? Some scouts even said, I want to see him have a really bad game because then I'm going to turn around and watch his next three. I want to see how does he respond, because in the NBA, you're going to have bad nights, especially your first 2-3 years. And it's kind of like, okay, are you going to stick with the team plan? Are you going to keep playing team ball? Are you going to keep, like, fighting for, you know, learning what we need you to learn for us to win games? Or are you going to go off the reservation? So in a way, this is kind of like a moment where I think a lot more people are actually going to be like, okay, he had his bad moment. Okay, all right, hey, now let's watch the next 2-3 games. You know, is he going to go out there and just try to score 40 because he's mad? Or is he going to go out there and say, all right, you know, let's get these next few wins? So I think there's a potential that there's going to be even more eyes on him after this game.
Jeff Rabjohns of Beegs.com is with us. We're talking through IU's loss last night at Duke. I want to try to find a couple positives here from last night, because Indiana needs to turn the page with two Big Ten Conference games ahead and focus on building and getting where they want to be, also getting healthy too. And last night, Devontae Green and Zach McRoberts both saw minutes, and I guess that has to be a good thing, that maybe Indiana down the road here pretty soon can get some depth to the team, which is something that's been lacking now over the last week and a half or so.
Yeah, boy, positive. I mean, obviously you're right. Getting Zach McRoberts and Devontae Green back are good. Good situations. Neither one of them played particularly well last night. But after you've been out for a stretch, your first game back is going to be on the road against the number three team in the country in a tough venue, going against three guys who could be, you know, top five or probably likely or top five NBA draft picks. That's about as tough as it gets in college basketball. But they did come back. They both played, you know, a reasonable number of minutes. You know, Green had 20. Zach McRoberts has 16, so that's a representative sample of minutes. And I thought physically they moved okay. Didn't think Green was unbelievably quick, but it wasn't like they were lumbering or grimacing or anything like that. So if you get two more guys back, that adds depth to your rotation a little bit. And also the thing is, if they're actually healthy, IU might get to the point it can have some real practices. Because when you've only got 6 or 7 scholarship players, it's really tough to have legit practices, because you kind of got so many guys going against, you know, walk-ons, maybe even at times managers. And that's tough to build real good, not just work habits, but just how you play and actually create improvement. So I think it could really help in practice as well as in game. And then we'll see where Deron Davis is at. He did play 16 minutes. Wasn't really much of a factor. You know, he only had 2 points in the first half. In the first half, it ends with IU down 24. He got some points in the second half against some backups. But, you know, he's got to be able to play against frontline players to have an impact there. You know, Fitzner shooting, if you're looking for positives, you know, you could look at that one. You know, he goes 3-for-3 from the arc on the road in a tough venue. He gets 12 points in 18 minutes. That's a positive. Outside of that, you know, it's kind of tough to take too many. The other thing is, you know, you talk about things that are correctable. You know, Juwan Morgan getting in foul trouble so early certainly impacted IU's offense. And, you know, I think he can improve his technique. He can improve just his awareness that, sometimes don't go up and swat down at the ball. Just, wall a guy up. If he scores over you, you live to fight another day, but don't get that second foul in the first half. So I think the other positive is, again, some of the mistakes that IU made are actually correctable things. It's not like you look at a team and say, okay, wow, they can't move on defense, or, their guards just, can't handle the ball at all, never have. They got pressed, and they just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to be a long season. You look at the issues and you go, okay, Rob Fennessy can handle the ball. They've got guys in the backcourt, with Al Durham, Devontae Green, Romeo Langford, throwing Zach McRoberts in there as a passer, guys who can handle the ball. They were bad last night at it, obviously, but they're capable. So I think the other positive you would take is a number of the bigger issues are things that you look at this team and say they actually have the capability to correct some of these mistakes.
Jeff Rabjohn, Speaks.com with us. Jeff is with us every Wednesday. We talk IU basketball. I guess, Jeff, probably the biggest positive, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, is that Indiana won't play a tougher opponent than that, I don't think, all season long. I mean, Duke is really, really good, unbelievably talented, probably won't see as tough as an environment on the road as that, although some of the Big Ten road environments can be difficult, and those are obviously very meaningful games. So hopefully they can take whatever they can take from the experience last night and move on from it quickly and make some of those correctable actions and get back to practice with enough bodies that are healthy, because now you've got two Big Ten games ahead. And as we know, if you can win those first two Big Ten games in this new 20-game schedule before you dip back into some non-conference action for a while, that can get you off to a good start, build some Big Ten momentum before the first of the year.
Yeah, it's a chance to kind of like, in addition to momentum, you just get yourself two games ahead. And if somebody else stumbles early, it's almost like you might have a cushion there. And then IU has two winnable games, at home against Northwestern, at Penn State. Although Penn State is better. Lamar Stevens is really freaking good this year. Guy I got to see a ton in AAU with Team Final. And the guy IU looked at one point in time and took a pass on, which to this day befuddles me. But anyway, Penn State beat number 13 Virginia Tech last night in a one-point game. Penn State's, this is not your grandfather's Penn State. These guys can play. These guys are legit. But it's a winnable game, especially, in the Bryce Jordan Center, where they really don't draw a lot of fans. You're not going to have a big-time atmosphere against you. And you play against Louisville, which just knocked off Michigan State, and then faced Butler in the Crossroads Classic. So it's a tough four-game stretch. And two of those games, Penn State and Louisville, are teams that beat nationally ranked teams last night. So it's going to be a more difficult stretch than maybe it looked like on paper. But like you said, if you can get those two Big Ten games, Northwestern at home and at Penn State, then you've got a little bit of a head start on the conference race before it starts up in full on January 3rd against Illinois and gets going from there with Big Ten games.
Jeff, Big Ten ACC Challenge, let's talk about it as a whole for a minute. There have been some tremendous games as far as the final scores, very close, very competitive, obviously. Indiana's game was not one of those more competitive contests with a 90-69 final score. We've been talking this week about the Big Ten Conference as a whole. Seven teams in the top 25. This came up some yesterday. And, of course, a solid, I think, ACC with a 5-3 lead right now heading into Wednesday's slate of ACC Big Ten Challenge games. And I think the Big Ten could pick up some more tonight. We'll see how it goes. But it's a Big Ten conference that I think is definitely better than what people projected in the offseason. How good for sure, we'll have to see how the non-conference schedule plays out and some of the wins that teams are able to pick up heading into the full slate of conference games starting in January. But your take on the ACC Big Ten Challenge as a whole, how do you see things shaping up tonight as far as a win total for each conference when it's over? And maybe some early Big Ten thoughts, since IU has, I know you gave a little tidbit there on both Northwestern and Penn State, but maybe some other Big Ten thoughts since Indiana's getting ready to jump into a couple Big Ten games here soon.
Yeah, I think the Big Ten has a chance to finish out well tonight. I do think Ohio State takes care of Syracuse. I just think Ohio State's better right now. I think it's going to be tough for Maryland to beat Virginia, even at home. I think that's rugged. But I do think that the Big Ten has a chance to win this. And I think, Michigan, first of all, I think that Michigan-North Carolina game should be a terrific basketball game. But I do think Michigan wins that. And the big reason is Michigan's playing defense. And that was one of the things. I remember running into John Beilein during the summer during recruiting. And sometimes, when you got these really, really long days in the gym, and sometimes you got gaps between games and everybody's just kind of sitting there going, okay, what are we going to do here? You just kind of end up chit-chatting. And I remember him talking about the fact that he thought this was going to be a really good defensive team. And I remember making a note of that because I was like, all right, remember, when the season starts, watch Michigan's defense. Well, they're number one in the country right now in adjusted defensive efficiency. And I think this is the best defensive team John Beilein has had at Michigan. I can't sit here and talk about every team he's ever had during his career, but I do remember his Pitsnoggle teams at West Virginia. And obviously this Michigan team is better. So I think it's probably going to end up being his best defensive team. And, preseason, I picked Michigan and Michigan State to go 1-2 in the Big Ten. And just based upon personnel and based upon some little things I heard during the offseason, and I still think those are the two best teams in the league as it stands right now. I think with the way you look at records, some things are going to shake out. Nebraska got a really nice win going down to Clemson and winning. That was really good. Penn State's got a win over a ranked team. That helps them. I still think Michigan State's going to be fine. They've lost tough games. And last night, obviously, in a tough venue, the Yum Center. But I think Michigan, I think the Big Ten overall, I think it's stronger than some people thought. But I think nationally, I think some people just, I hate to say this, I think some people weren't paying attention. I honestly don't know how anybody could have looked at that Michigan team and not thought that was, a preseason top 20 team. I honestly don't. And you look at the AP preseason poll, and there's some people who didn't even give Michigan a vote. And it's like, guys, what are you looking at? They have a lot of pieces on offense. They've got guys who do things offensively, excuse me, that John Beilein likes to do the most. And he's gotten to the point where recruiting, he's not just getting good players, he's getting really good players who are really good at doing what he wants to do the most. So instead of having to adjust his personnel, it's now almost like, he's getting the exact ingredients he wants. And it's a really good Michigan team. Now he's got some extra length, which impacts how he wants to play defense. So I still think it's Michigan State 1-2 in the Big Ten. Purdue's had a good start. Going to be interesting for them, though, to see how well they handle things when they face better defenses, and you've got to get, a significant amount of points from somebody not named Carson Edwards. And Ohio State's been really good, too. They've got two road wins already. They're playing well. I certainly think they're going to remain a consistently good team for most of the season. Caleb Weston's been really good. CJ Jackson, and those guys. So I think they're going to be pretty solid for the rest of the year. But I do think it's going to be, I don't want to run through every team and bore everybody to death. but I do think the Big Ten, at the end of the day, is going to be pretty strong. And I do think, with its, strength of schedule overall, with strength of schedules, because of the 20-game schedule, strength of schedules are all going to get bumped up. Some people are looking at teams' non-conference strength of schedule right now, and it's like, yeah, I get that, but it's right now. And with a 20-game conference schedule, things are going to change based upon the math in the past, how it's worked. I think Big Ten teams are going to be fine in that regard.
Jeff Rabjohn, Spiegs.com. Great stuff as we recap IU Duke, a tough one for IU, and obviously a tough one for IU fans as well. But turning the page some big games ahead, and I still think a lot of potential ahead for this IU team as well. Jeff, thank you. Always good stuff. Great to catch up. In the season, our conversations are so valuable with what you've got, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
Hey, man, always good talking to you, my friend. Have a great week, and hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a final segment on today's show. Sean Smith, the coach at Providence, will be with us. We'll continue our preview of high school basketball for the 2018-19 season with the new coach of the Providence Pioneers. After this, on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back, and we're going to talk a little high school basketball in this segment. The 2018-19 season is here, and we're continuing our previews of local boys basketball teams with the season underway. And one of the great things, and I've said this before, is the coaches we have. Not only are they great coaches with their X's and O's during the games and how they run their programs, but they're great to work with, they're great to have on the program. Great to catch up with on a regular basis. And Sean Smith coming to Providence just adds to what I'm saying, a great group of coaches here in the area. And Coach Smith, welcome in. Glad to talk about with you about your Pioneers, and glad this season has started, although for the Pioneers, officially, as far as games go, you don't get started until later this week when you host Austin on Friday.
Oh, yes, sir, Matt. Thanks for having me, and I'm excited to be here at Providence and excited to be on the show today.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your team. I know a little different for you, taking over a program. You got involved late, got hired in June. The team had already begun some of its summer activities. So it's really been a big workload for you and for your coaches and a big learning experience, I'm sure, for your kids as you work hard in the early season practices and then official practices beginning in November to kind of get your team straightened out and figure out the system you want to use and get everything installed. Sometime that first year and that first few months on the job can be never-ending, it seems.
Well, that's very true, and it's definitely been a process from day one, and we've just been sticking to that. We try to get a little bit better every day and try to get something new added, each week, and the kids have done a great job, and they're coming along, and we're certainly much farther along than we were back in June when I got hired and then went through the background checking process and all that stuff before I was cleared to take over. And then I have a great group of assistant coaches, including David Dahlman, who's been great, instrumental in trying to bridge the gap. Between myself and the kids, and he's done a great job, and everybody's been great. Everybody's been working hard, and we're just trying to get a little bit better every day, and just taking it one day at a time, looking at it as more of a process of development, and we're excited to get going Friday and see where we're at.
Sean Smith, coach of Providence, entering his first year at the school, although he's been a head coach in Indiana 13 seasons now, with us on the program today. Let's talk a little bit in specifics about some of your players for this incoming season. I know talking to a coach that's just taken over a program in the last few months, it's a little hard to talk specifics before you've ever played an official game, but what are you expecting? Who are some of the names that you've leaned on early on in your time at Providence to try to put this team together and build a base?
Yeah, we have a great group of kids, and really excited to coach this group, and they're eager to learn, and they're hungry to learn, and so, but we don't have a lot of experience returning from last year's team. I think you start with Hayden Burke, who's a senior, big strong kid in the paint, but he's a good athlete. He can really run the floor and hits the boards hard, and I think he's a guy that we're gonna have to get a lot of mileage out of inside. And then Sterling Huber returns with varsity experience as well, and I know last year he really shot the ball well from the perimeter, and put up a lot of threes and hit him at a very high clip. But he's really been working hard to develop into more of a scorer, being somebody that can take the ball to the rack and possibly even, you know, score in the paint a little bit and get to the foul line more. And he's really bought into that, so I'm excited to see him develop from that perspective. And then Nick Sexton returns as a sophomore point guard, and he was able to get a lot of experience as a freshman last year. And you know, Nick's going to be a really good guard for us. As he continues to grow and develop, the thing that impresses me a lot about Nick is he has a lot of he just has good court awareness. He really sees the floor well and just has a good feel for the game. And I think he's getting more comfortable in our system. And you know, he's been working to grow into a leader and become a little more vocal. And you know, I'm day by day, I'm seeing him, you know, buy into that and grow a little more. So those guys bring back a lot of experience. And then I believe Austin Barnett, you know, also got a lot of time last year. And he returns. He's been injured for a couple weeks here, but he's definitely a really good, solid kid, really strong, and a good athlete. And I'm excited to see what he's able to do now that he's gotten healthy. And he's definitely bulked up some from last year. So those four in particular, I believe, are really the guys who had a lot of varsity experience last year. Austin Grant's returns to the program, and he's a great athlete and a toolsy kid, and just really excited to see him grow and develop moving forward. I think he's come a long way just from the beginning to now, and I think as he gets more comfortable, we could see him stepping up and having some big games for us. And Isaac Coker is another senior who returns after a long layoff from injury, and you know, he's definitely a very vocal player and you know, kind of taking on some leadership responsibilities. So as far as experience returning, those are the guys that seem to have some varsity experience or, you know, should be able to step right in and be able to contribute right away.
Sean Smith, coach of Providence, is with us. I know one of the big things you've been working on, you and I have had some conversations about this over the recent months, is building a program with a vision for the long term and working all the way down with the youth even. And so in addition to installing your plays, in addition to getting this group together under your coaching and your staff and your leadership for the first time, a lot of things go into running a high school basketball program that I don't think the average fan or maybe even parent or someone that's around the program but not officially involved doesn't always see. A lot of time, especially in those first months and even in those first seasons when you're taking over.
Absolutely. It takes and it's something that, yeah, the high school coach cannot do by himself. I mean, the old cliche of saying it takes a village, it really is true. I mean, you got to have a lot of great people willing to come in and help and work hard with your program all the way down, you know, to the younger ranks. And you know, we've been able to establish some travel teams with our 5th through 8th grade this year and getting that going with the Providence Basketball Academy and have some great guys working with those groups of kids and looking forward to seeing them, you know, get out and playing some travel tournaments and just really trying to help establish our culture, which is, we talk about pounding the rock, which is basically just it comes down to having a growth mindset of just not really focusing so much on the end result, but working hard every day and improving and growing. And then, you know, when the time comes, you know, we're going to find success. We're going to be the best version of ourselves and be the best team we can be. And that's something we've begun to talk about with even our younger kids in the 5th through 8th grade. We got some things in mind with our K-4 kids. And you know, it just takes time. It takes a lot of time and a lot of great people working together for the good of the program. And so I've been real fortunate to meet some great people here in the early stages, people who really want to work, you know, work at it and want to help make the program successful. And so it just takes a great team effort, and I think we're getting some things established, and hopefully, you know, we can grow it and eventually become a top-notch program.
We're talking Providence basketball with new head coach Sean Smith entering his first season. The Pioneers open at home on Friday. Austin at Providence, a 7:30 tip-off. Let's look at that schedule, Coach. Austin at home, Then you play in early December, Meade County, Kentucky at home, who's always a formidable opponent. Your team then goes on the road to Scottsburg. You play December 14th in what will be a rivalry game and a big challenge for your team against 4A Floyd Central. You've got a game with Charlestown coming up. You play down at Hancock County, Kentucky. Three games in a tournament there before Christmas. You've got the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament after Christmas. Obviously, Silver Creek, a top team in the area that you could potentially see there. Some challenges right out of the gate, including Friday night. I think Austin's had a kid, Drew Burr, that had back-to-back 35-point games. So you'll find out a lot, I would say, about your team right out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest with you, the talent, the collective talent in this area right now is just amazing. I don't know if I've seen this sort of caliber of a collection of talent. The sophomore classes, it seems like, in particular in the area, are really strong, and there's some great seniors that are out, juniors and seniors out there that we're going to run into, and Austin's the defending sectional champs, and I went and watched them play against Scottsburg, and the Burr kid is just a great player. He's a winner. He's a Division I baseball player, so he's a D1 athlete, but he can really shoot it. He can create his own shot. We're going to have great awareness of where, team collective awareness of Drew Burr on Friday night to try to slow him down. But, yeah, he had 38 against Austin and 35 against Southwestern. So he's definitely capable of scoring a lot of points, and it's going to be a big challenge for us right off the bat. And then as we get deeper into the schedule, as I mentioned, it just seems like everybody's got some great talent, seems like, on our schedule. So challenges every night, but that's how you get better. You gotta play against good teams and good competition and find out where you're at, and then be honest with yourself and develop a mindset of, maybe we take some on the chin, but we can learn from it and grow from it. And then hopefully come tournament time, we're the best team that we can possibly be. And I think if we do that, we'll have a chance to be contenders in the sectional.
Coach Smith, we've got about 30 seconds left. I want to close with this. What do you see in the area this year? What type of competition? Obviously, Romeo Lankford is gone. Lots of key graduates lost from last year. But a lot of young talent, it seems, here in our Clark and Floyd County region.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you start with Floyd Central, looking at our schedule, and they have a huge senior class, but just lots of great length. Just big, for a lot of teams around here to face. And, of course, Kobe Barnes is going to Indiana State and an Indiana All-Star candidate and just a great scorer. And the hybrider kid has really come along and can really put the ball in the basket. And then, looking beyond that, you got to talk about Silver Creek. Coach Hoffman's got to be really excited about his troops and the opportunity that they have. Just a really talented team, and again, they have some great length as well, and so they in 3A should be excited about what they could do. And of course, I just looked here at the beginning of the schedule, but I know that looking beyond, Jeff, New Albany are always highly talented and athletic teams. They're going to be big challenges for us. So those games right off the top of my head have to be like probably the big time challenges for us. But North Harrison's got some size. Brownstown's always good. Our schedule's pretty stacked, so it's going to be a big time challenge for us every night.
Coach Sean Smith, head coach at Providence. Coach, thanks for the chat. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the show. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 11 a.m. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.